welcome to worship. It is a beautiful morning, isn't it? We can look around. Doesn't take much to see that our God is good and that he is with us, that he is for us, that he is a God of life, that he is a God of new life. And I pray that this morning in each one of us, he would do something new, something fresh, something that brings life to the parts of us that may need new breath, new hope, new strength. As we prepare to worship, would you hear these words from Psalm 96? Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Would you pray with me? Oh, living God, this morning we join the fields and the trees in declaring that you alone are God and you alone are powerful over all, that you are good and you are love and you are here. So, Father, we pray that we would lift high your name in this place. And as we open our hearts to sing to you and to hear your word, to lift up our prayers, we know that your heart is open to us as well. Would you help us see you, hear you, feel you, know you, and love you more? Father God, in this next hour, as you are glorified in this place, we give you permission to do whatever it is you want to do in us, to bring us more and more alive to who you are. Thank you for loving us, God. We love you too. May this moment of singing be as our love songs to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been in a series for quite a few weeks now on who we are in Christ, our real name, our real identity. This morning, we learn more about our name, but not so much what it is, rather where it is. So hear these words from Isaiah 49, verses 14 through 16. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." Would you pray with me? And Father God, now as we turn to your word, we pray that you would help us hear whatever it is that you want us to hear. So you would help us be whoever it is you want us to be. So you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever felt forgotten? Maybe when you were a child and your parents got mixed up on who was supposed to pick you up from practice. And there you were, the last one, sitting alone with your coach, wondering how long it would be until somebody remembered you. Maybe you saw pictures from a party that you never got the invite to and thought, huh, they guess they just forgot about me. Perhaps your birthday comes and goes, and some of those people that you thought would give you a call, the day passed and you never heard from them. When I was overseas, I had all kinds of cousins that got married or that had babies, and I came home 2 years later to catch up on all the news. It seemed that as it was happening, I was so far away, the family just kind of forgot to tell me about these things. I think that we've all felt forgotten at times by our spouses, by our children, by our parents, our kids, our colleagues, our supervisors. But what about by God? Have you ever felt forgotten by Him? Have you ever felt like God just forgot to see you when you were in your own dark valley? Or have you ever felt like God forgot to hear you whenever you were calling out to God in prayer? Have you ever felt like God forgot about your heart when some of those dreams for a family or for a career, for happiness or for health seem to go dismissed? I've felt forgotten by God. And I'm a pastor. I wonder if we've all felt forgotten by God before. I've told you this story several times. It's one of my favorite stories because it's a story of us coming together, me and you. So if you've heard it for the fifth time, just hear it again because I like this story. But the season of my life that I think I felt the most forgotten by God, I was an associate pastor. I'd had this strong, strong call to be a pastor 5 years before that while I was in seminary. And in my heart, week after week, that desire was just growing in me to get to live out this calling to be a pastor. The hardest moment for me every week was Sunday mornings about 10:30 a.m. when my pastor would preach a sermon. And he was a great pastor. He is a great pastor. But as he would come to the pulpit to preach, there was in me this burning fire that I was longing to have a place to share God's words from my heart to the people of God. And so I kept putting out resumes and letters wherever I knew to, trying to connect with contacts that might help me. And for a couple of years, I was just getting rejection, rejection, rejection. And I remember so many times shaking my fist at God and saying, "You're the one that called me to this thing that's not working and that's never going to work. God, God, why have you forgotten me?" I spent a weekend at a retreat for ministers, and I was supposed to end that weekend on Sunday morning at this teeny tiny church in this teeny tiny town in Texas, preaching to about 8 people who all sat on the back row. No joke. And as I'm working on this sermon in the breaks of the conference, I kind of knew in my heart this was a pretty good sermon. And I found myself even more frustrated with God. I said, "God, you're putting these words on my heart. And all I have is this little church with 8 people in the back row to share with. Why have you forgotten me?" And that weekend ended with communion. And right before communion, we were asked to write out a blessing that our hearts most long to hear from our God. And on my little piece of paper with my blessing, all I wrote was, "I have not forgotten you. Jamie, I called you and I know what I'm doing. I'm working on your behalf for this call that I have given you. Trust me, be patient with me. Jamie, I have not forgotten you." You ever felt forgotten by God? Israel felt forgotten. In Isaiah 49, we find them on the other side of exile. If you know their story, they'd been sent away from their home by the oppressors, the Babylonians, and they had been forced to live in this exile place for 80 years. For 80 years, they were away from their people, away from their homeland. They thought even that they were away from their God. And then they finally got to come home. I remember those last few weeks when I was in Egypt for this 2-year period, and I was finally going to come home. I was going to see America for the first time in 2 years. And I remember all the longings in my heart. I could not wait to be surrounded again by people who spoke English. And I couldn't wait to get to wear shorts again. And I really couldn't wait for Chick-fil-A and for Target. And I especially couldn't wait to see my family and to see my home again. Israel had 80 years of that. And here they were. They had all these warm, fuzzy expectations of coming home too. Until they arrived back at their old stomping grounds. And what did they find there but a city in shambles, completely destroyed. All of their buildings were just piles of rubble. Their temple was gone, and their homes along with it. Can you imagine their grief? Can you imagine your grief? You finally get to come home, and it's gone. So they cry out to their God. They say, "The Lord has forsaken us. The Lord has forgotten us." And can you blame them? That's what it looked like. Have you ever cried the same lament to the Lord? Why have you forgotten me? Why have you forsaken me? I have. Israel has. You remember Jesus himself has on the cross. "My God, my God." Odds are you have too. God's response to their cry. God's response to our cry. When we say, "God, how can you forget me?" The most beautiful response I can imagine in the pages of Scripture. He speaks to his children, and he said, "Can a nursing mom forget her child or show no compassion for the child of her womb?" And he says, "Even though these may forget sometimes, I will not forget you." See, God says, "I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands." Isn't that beautiful? "I will never forget you," God says. "You are engraved on my hands." Isn't that beautiful, you guys? I believe under your mask you're smiling because that is beautiful. Would you look at the palm of your hand for just a moment? How often do you notice that part of your body on any given day? I wasn't actually quite sure, and so I put this Sharpie marker cross on my palm for the weekend to try to figure out how often I look at that. Turns out, all the time. You don't even know what you know. We look at our palms thousands of times a day. It says, "You are engraved on the palm of my hand." God says, "I constantly have you in my view. You are right here. You are on me." And you know, he doesn't even say just your name, but he says, "You are engraved in him. All of you." That means every moment of every day, God holds all of you before his full attention. Your circumstances, he knows all of them, all the time, never forgotten. Your heart, your desires, your hurts, your prayers, your hopes, your calling, he knows all about it, all the time. All of you. It's held not just close to God, but on God, in God, every moment. I can't forget you, he says. I have you engraved on the palm of my hand, and I can't wash you off. I can't separate you from me, not even for a second. As you look at your palm, could you imagine that this is the palm of the living God? Try to picture that. And could you see yourself written right there, engraved beneath those first layers of flesh? Can you see that? God never, not for a second, forgets or forsakes you. God never fails to hear you. God never fails to see you. God never fails to attend to you. You're right here. How could he? How could he? He couldn't. You are in him. Have you ever thought about all that we do with the palms of our hands? Try living a day without using your palms. You're not going to make it very far. It's with our palms that we hold on to that person that we love. And we journey through life together, hand in hand. Your name on his palm, the lover of your soul. He holds on tight and he gives you a good squeeze every so often just to remind you that he loves you. And he loves being on this journey of life with you. With the palm of your hand, you cling to something that'll stabilize you when you're slipping. Maybe it's a vine when you're climbing up a mountain, or maybe it's a firm hand that'll help you take a step when you're too weak to take it on your own. God's got you in the palm of his hand. He's always reaching out to hold you up and to help you stand. The only one who can keep you from falling has your name on his hand. You will never stumble without him right there to catch you, because you're on the palm of his hand. With our palms, we cling to things that we don't want to live without. Some people cling to money. Some people cling to status. When I'm in my kayak with my dog and we're going along and she sees a seal and her little ears go up and I can tell she's thinking about bailing on me, I cling to her collar, not wanting to let her go. With your name on his palm, God's clinging to you and he's saying, I will never let you go. In his palm, he holds you close. In his palm, he keeps you safe. In his palm, he doesn't let go of you, because your name is on his palms. With your palms, you hold your child's face in your hands, just like this, so you can get their full attention and look them in the eye when you say, do you know how much I love you? With his palms, God holds your head like that, so with your full attention, he can tell you just how much he loves you. With their palms, moms touch their kids' foreheads when they're looking a little pale, so they can get a feel for how they're doing, what kind of help they might need. Your name is on God's palm. Picture his palm right here sometimes. He always knows what you need and when you need it to be whole and to be well. And your God moves to help you because your name is on the palm of his hand. With palms, dads place their hands on the back of their kid's shoulder and they just quietly walk behind them just to let them know that they are right there with them. God's got his palm on your shoulder, whispering in your ear at every moment, I'm right here. I'm right here. can't see the path clearly ahead. We reach out to grab the hand of a trustworthy guide. God's palms, with your name on them, are always reaching out, and they're saying, grab on, grab on, and I will show you the way. Sometimes these same palms ball up and become a fist, do they not? A fist to fight for those who are in our care. God's got your name on his palm. When you're in and over your head, when the enemy is having his heyday with you, your God is always ready to step in and take the battle for you. Some of your palms out there are calloused and scarred. Look at them. Is that you? Just looking at your palms, some of you show the world how you've worked hard to serve those that you love. How you've labored for years to put food on the table. Your cracked skin shows that you've washed more loads of laundry and dirty dishes than you could ever possibly count. You built a home, you planted seeds. Your palms tell stories of sacrifice and of service. You know, our God knows a thing or two about scarred, cracked, bloody palms, does he not? There was a real day in history when our God took on flesh. And this metaphor in Isaiah became the reality at Golgotha. Jesus, God in flesh, stretched out his hands. And he looked over to see those nails that were piercing them. And in the exact same view of the nail, he saw you written on him. And he remembered why he was doing what he was doing. The reason he was laying his life down, because our names were written right here. And he could never forget us. And he could never, ever forsake us. So much so that he would rather die than live without us. The nail-pierced hand. The same hands engraved with us in them. You are written on God's hands. He can never forget you. Ever. When's the last time you forgot you had a hand? You didn't. Maybe when you were sleeping, but guess what? Our God never sleeps. When's the last time you forgot you had a hand? You don't forget that because it's a part of you. And God has chosen to make you a part of him. Never forgotten, never forsaken. You are engraved on God's hands. The rest of my story from those days I felt forgotten. I finished that retreat when I took my blessing up to take communion. The lady that was offering me the bread and the cup, she read my blessing over me. They said, Jamie, you are not forgotten. Your God sees you. Your God has called you. Your God is working on your behalf. Trust him. As she read the blessing over me, something in my heart broke open and I just began to sob. And for the next 5 hours, I sobbed and I sobbed and I sobbed. That was a Saturday evening. I got up Sunday morning and I preached that really good sermon to those 8 people in the back row. And I went back home to Waco. Monday morning, I got 2 phone calls at 9 a.m. They were professors from my seminary down the street. And they both said, Jamie, you've got to get over here right now. There's a guy here, and he's a pastor in the Northwest. And he says that there's churches up there that need pastors, and he wants to talk to you. I met with him. An hour later, I had the name of Patty Duckworth, who's the associate director of our region. A week later, I talked to Patty. 2 weeks later, I had three churches in the Northwest that I was talking to, one of them this very church. About 4 months later, I was preaching before the search committee of this church. And guess what sermon God put on my heart and told me to preach? The one that I sat in my little cabin that whole week and saying, God, you have forgotten me. You put a sermon on my heart for eight people sitting in the back row. Why have you forgotten me? And all the while, my God, if I could have had ears to hear, was listening, Jamie, I never forgot you. I was always working for you. I've heard every prayer. I've caught every tear. I put those desires in you, not to hurt you, but to give you life when the time was right. You've been in my hands all along. I have never forgotten you. My friends, you are written on the palm of the living God's hands. Today, whatever is going on in your life, whatever is going on in your heart, God just wants you to know once again that He does indeed see you, and He does indeed hear you, and He does indeed know you, and He does indeed love and hold you, and He is indeed working for you. He has not forgotten you, not for a second. He carries you in Him, on Him, with Him. And so what if this week we vowed to remember our God as He remembers us? You should all have a permanent marker handy. You either brought your own or you got one as you pulled in. I wonder if you could do what I've done this weekend. It's been pretty cool. And if you would just maybe, with that Sharpie marker, draw a cross or something of your own choice that reminds you of God, but a cross on the palm of your hand. And until that cross washes off, what if every time you look at it, you might see that as knowing that God is whispering to you and He is telling you again, my child, I can't forget you. I'll never forsake you. You're written on my hands. Every time you see that cross today, hear your God speak that over you again and again. And each time He whispers that to you, might you dare to say back, and Jesus, at least for today, you're on my hands too. I will not forget you. I will cling to you, palm to palm, hand in hand. For this week, Jesus, I will remember you with every glance at the palm of my hand. And would you hear Jesus in return, my child, and I, you. You are engraved on His hand, my friends. I can't think of any more beautiful news for this day. You are never, ever forgotten, never forsaken. You are right. Would you pray with me? Father God, that you don't just check in on us from time to time, and that you're not just close by, but that you've engraved us into yourself, that you carry us in you wherever you go, that you hold our lives before your sight every moment. All we know to do is to pour out our thanks and our praise. Such great love and attention we cannot fathom, but we believe it because we know your heart is true. And so God, thank you for remembering us today. And with these little silly drawings on our hands. They're simple, God. But could they help us remember you too? At least for this day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.